Hey guys, before we get to this week's show, I want to let you know we are going to Phenomicon 2024 in Vernal, Utah. This will take place on September 4th through the 7th. They asked me to speak there, and they're giving me 90 minutes to go crazy on stage with you guys, so I had to take advantage of it. I hope to see you guys there in Vernal, Utah on September 4th through the 7th. Get your tickets now. Link in the description below will take you right to their page where you can purchase the tickets and get your spot secured for Phenomicon 2024.
Merkel Media.
This was all circulating around the base that a giant had been killed, but no one was supposed to talk about it.
I saw three long bony fingers reach up underneath the door, curl up to grab it, and then disappear.
When he came over to me, dude, he slithered over to me.
And this giant comes out of the cave and they're all frozen. And he starts running and firing at this giant. But the giant moves. He's got a spear in one hand and he's running really fast and spears Dan and holds him up like this. Somebody yells, shoot him in the face, shoot him in the face. They basically decapitate him.
Got closer. When he got about 15 yards away from me, I raised that 12 gauge and I blow this head off.
I feel something pulling at my leg. And I look over and there are two small gray entities pulling at me. And they're literally, I'm getting pulled off the bed.
I reach my hand into this bush and I touch air. Couldn't breathe and I couldn't move because I know I'm seeing a monster.
Welcome to the show, everybody. You're listening to the Confessionals Podcast. I'm your host, Tony Merkel. Thanks for being here. If you have a crazy, wild experience you want to share with me on the show, go ahead and shoot me an email. My email address is contact@theconfessionalspodcast.com. That's contact@theconfessionalspodcast.com. Or go to the website, theconfessionalspodcast.com, hit the contact section, and you can reach me that way as well. Either way works for me, just get a hold of me. If you want more shows on a weekly basis, just go to theconfessionalspodcast.com or on YouTube. Either way, both locations have the same exact content, just two different locations. So if you're on YouTube and you just want to be on YouTube, no problem. Just hit the link in the description or the join button if you're on Android and you become a member right there on YouTube. For anybody who wants to become a member on the website, all you got to do is go to confessionalspodcast.com, hit the join button and become a member there as well. Either way, you get the same stuff. All right, friends, listen, MerkMerch.com is where you want to get all your Merkel Media apparel needs. We have new designs coming soon, and we're going to be restocking some sizes very, very soon as well. So you can look forward to that. MerkMerch.com and get yourself some awesome apparel right there from Merkel Media. Also, go ahead and check out MerkelFilms.com. That's MerkelFilms.com for all the documentary on-demand streaming. Our latest documentary, Sasquatch and the Missing Man, is available for on-demand streaming right there at MerkelFilms.com. All right, today we have Musket coming on the show, and Musket is somebody we're having on today and on Thursday for the members. This was a fantastic conversation. Musket basically introduces me to the whole idea and creature called the Nelusa. Never heard of the Nelusa until he introduced it to me, and man, does he have a story of this thing coming in on him and his friends one night, stalking them in the woods, and they seemingly escaped by chance when one friend saw what was coming and intervened. So let's get to Musket and this wild story of when one night him and his friends encountered the Nelusa. All right, today we have Musket on the show. Musket, what's going on, man?
Hey, how's it going, man?
Yeah, it's going good. It's going awesome. Good. So, listen, man, you emailed the show. I think it was when I was looking at the emails, I think it was back in May or something. And you have an interesting encounter that you had out in Washington that kind of propelled you in a certain direction. And in the email, the way you wrote it, I was like, oh, this is interesting. This is interesting. And then you're like, and there's a lot more that happened. I'm like, perfect. Yeah. You're on the show.
Okay. So,
I appreciate you reaching out and being willing to come on the show and talk.
Thanks for having me.
I'll lay it over to you. And can you just start off with, I guess, maybe your background as to, you know, what you guys were doing out there and maybe what your thoughts were on these kind of things heading into this stuff, because you had quite a weird experience.
Well, for starters, like, I've always been about the outdoors. Like, I'm an outdoorsman. Like, I live and breathe the outdoors. So I've never had anything strange happen to me until this instance. And, like, you know, to start things off, I've, you know, looked at the paranormal with kind of a skeptical lens. Like, I'm an open skeptic. I think I put it in my email that, like, I'm a paranormal agnostic. Like, yeah, you know, that sounds like it could be, but where's the proof, you know? And I look at people's experiences, like getting on your show, and, you know, me and my wife listen to it a lot, and I'm like, all right, you know, that's kind of cool. And people's experiences, you know, are their own. And so the proof on that point is like mine, you know, like my own proof. Like I saw something, you know, one thing that, you know, I kind of live by is like, don't let anyone tell you that your eyes and ears are wrong, you know? And so when this happened, it had me questioning a lot, but then I felt, you know, I fell back to that whole point of contact with like, I saw this, I heard this, this to me is like something that's real. You know, this is real. This is reality. Like I experienced this. So to start it off, I was going through, you know, a really bad time in my life, and, it was at that point that, I don't know, maybe something opened up, or I hear a lot, like, as I've researched into whatever this phenomena is, like with the missing 411 and everything like that, like there are things that are out there. Like if you go as far back as the Native Americans, you know, with their lore, that's the best point of contact that I think you can use as a descriptor, because they've been here the longest. And so when you apply that and then take it around the world, you start to see these similarities of certain things that kind of correlate together. And, you know, as it stands, like that's the only thing that I can reason as to what I encountered. Like it's something associated either with the land, or maybe it might have, you know, everybody, you know, the new thing is the extra dimensional question. Like, is this thing coming out with the Grush report and all the UFO stuff in the headlines? It's like, is this associated with that? So going back to that point to start things off, like going through a bad time in my life, I had gone out camping with my homie, friend number one. And, you know, we went out there. This is before the experience, mind you. Very first time we go out there, we had a really strange experience. He said he heard something walk up to the tent on two legs. And then he said he felt this like it squatted, like you start to feel this feeling like something's close. And then he said it took two big sniffs, like... And then he goes, in his best North Carolina accent, he goes, go on, get. And he said, whatever was out there, he said, it felt like it stood up and walked away. Well, I was asleep. I was dead asleep. He's nudging me. He's saying my name and stuff. And I'm stuck in this weird, you know, dream or whatever. But at the end of it, it felt like I had an out-of-body experience. I know that sounds weird, but that's what laid the framework for what happened next. And so when he nudged me, like, it's like I was floating in a black void. Like, I felt like just a consciousness, and then I settled back into my body. And then I feel like the cold, my fingers, my toes, you know, I just start to come back to being. And he's like, something was here. I was like, what? I was like, it's probably a raccoon or something. I kind of snapped at him because I got shook out. And I'm like, it's nothing, man. It's nothing. Go back to sleep. And so I'm trying to get back to sleep. And I asked him what it was. And he was like, I think something walked up to the tent. It squatted. And I heard it give two big sniffs. And then I told it to get. And it, subsequently left. But he said it sounded like something walked away, like crunch, 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 walked away on two legs. And so that was like, whatever. Life at that point really took a header. And for me, like coming back from that, I was like, wow, that was weird. And I forgot about it. And so when stuff in my own life, my personal life started to get like sideways, like I'm in the dumps. He hits me up. He's like, hey, dude, let's go camping. And I'm like, all right. He's like, I got a friend. He's like going through the same thing as you are. And he's like, I figure you guys could like bond over it, you know, lean on each other because you're doing better than he is. I'm like, okay, fine. He's like, hey, you want to go to that spot, the weird spot? I'm like, yeah. So we had called this spot Deer Bone Hill because there's deer bones all over the place. And we figured it was just from hunters or something like that. And yeah, it totally could be, but it was just really odd to see all the deer bones and deer carcasses like just kind of littering this area. And I kind of thought it was odd, but, you know, just brushed it off, not thinking anything of it. So day comes. He calls me. He's like, hey, I'm headed your way. I'm like, all right. He gets there, to my place. We load up and then we head out. And, he had in the process of it, let his friend know who was going to be there with us. And his friend was bringing a friend. So friend number two and friend number three. we get to the entrance to Capitol State Forest. And we're parked there, like at the entrance, just waiting. They subsequently show up and then, we head out there. And so we take this trail in and then we take this primitive road that gets us to the spot, and it's in there. I can't really estimate as per the miles, but like you drive for a little bit to get in there. So once you're in, and it's pretty remote. And for those who don't know, Capitol Forest is like, I want to say it's like 190,000 square acres or something along those lines. I want to say it roughly estimates to around like 170 square miles. So it's pretty big place when you think about it. I didn't realize how big it was, but it's pretty big place. I could see that, you know, 170 square miles, you know, there's possibility for something to be in there. The place has also been like on the BFR radar. And I've heard just from people who have like gone shooting, gone hiking out that area, that there's like, it's weird. It's a weird spot. So we get in there, we're setting up camp. I start building a fire, friend number one, setting up a wood pile, and you know, we're starting to like get in the groove of things. Friend number two is, you know, starting to break the ice. I'm getting to talk to him a little bit. And then friend number three, he's just chilling. He's like the stoner. So that guy, he's, some funny things happened with that dude, but, everything's all good. And then night falls and that's when the event takes place. So I would estimate this to be about February. So it's cold. We had a late winter. So January was like slushy and snowy. And that's when we went out the first time. And then, this time, like it was still cold. I think, you know, way into the interior, there might still have been some snow, but, for where we were, it was just nasty, cold, wet. And so, you know, we decided to go camping in this weather, whatever. And it was all good, you know, like, everything felt fine for the evening. It was nice to settle in, you know, into the fire. And, friend number two starts, you know, venting about his, you know, life and stuff. And like, he got pretty heavy. So I stepped back from that conversation and I let friend number one take over, and friend number three pulls out a guitar. But he had it out already and he's like plucking away. So I'm tuned into that and I'm just like listening to, you know, him plucking and just kind of zoning out. over the fire. And then I get this sense like I'm being watched. So initially, I'm positioned with my back to the entrance. So the I'm pretty much in line with the road. But we're off probably like 10 yards into the wood line. So from the access road in, we get off into the wood line about 10 yards. And then there's like a campsite there that we had set up. So I have my back to the woods, and I get the sense of being watched. I don't know how to describe it, but it felt very, very unnerving. Like, I would say felt predatory and kind of hostile. It wasn't a good experience. Like, I didn't feel like, oh, you know, like that's all cool or whatever. It was really unnerving. And I looked over my shoulder, my left shoulder, and I didn't see anything. Like, I looked back there, I just scanned everything, and it was just darkness. And we had a Coleman lantern, an LED Coleman lantern that was set on low, right above the wood pile. And I didn't see anything. So the throw of that light was not great. It just cast a little bit of light. I would say probably 1.5 meters, 2 meters, or, you know, 2 yards or whatever. And it, the throw of the light wasn't great. So from where it was when it appeared was probably, I would say, another 3 to 5 yards into the ferns. And that's where the thicket begins. That's where the actual woods begin. And so, like I said, I felt being watched, and I look over my shoulder. I don't see anything. And then I go back to just, you know, paying attention to the fire and homie plucking his guitar. And then I felt it again. And so I was about to look, and I stopped myself. And then I kind of like played it off. I looked over, you know, at friend number one, friend number two talking. And then I moved my chair in front of this conifer tree. I think it was like a pine or a spruce. And then I just got like this little sliver that I could see. So I did turn around at that point once I was a little bit more concealed, and I'm looking in that direction of where I'm feeling being watched. And then that's when I start to see the ferns like swaying. It's like this. And then it seems like something's, you know, low crawling in the ferns coming up to the limit to where our campsite begins. And so at that point, I'm just paying attention to this. I'm like, am I really seeing this? Is there like an animal there or whatever? And I was expecting it, you know, maybe to be a possum or something like that. And then I start to see something come up off of the ground. And then it kind of like struck me. And everybody was armed at this point. Like everybody had a sidearm, or my main homie, friend number one, he had a carbine on him, a 9mm carbine. And like I'm looking at this thing, and I see it lift up off the ground. And then initially what I thought it was a cougar, like a very large tom cougar. And I was like, oh crap, that's a cougar. And then the more that I looked at it, the more it didn't make sense. But initially when it came up, it already didn't make sense. But I think what I could describe that is like when you see something that kind of defies all reality, you try and like validate it with something like, oh, it looks like this. You try and it's like a puzzle you're trying to fit, but it just doesn't fit. But you're just like, oh, it's got to be this, because it completely just falls out of your reality paradigm. And I looked at that at that point, like I was just absolutely stunned. I was the type of person that thought like, oh, you know, I'm watching a horror movie or something like that. I would react a certain way, like, oh, this thing happened, I would shoot it or something like that. Well, when this happened, all I could do was stare at it, because I was completely dumbfounded. That basically just dumbfounded by what I was looking at. Like, this should not be here. This is not real. What is this? What's going on right now? And then it lifts up off the ground. and it's just there. I see the silhouette, the shape of something that is humanoid, but distinctly not human. So I described it to you in the email. So if you take like an egg and you turn upside down, so a pointy part is down, its head was very egg-shaped. Its ears, like where our normal ears are, it's like if you took your ears and set them higher and they came out like this. I liken it to like something, dare I say, elf-like, like I said in the email. So it looked very strange. And then the shoulders, like my shoulders right here, that was the profile. It was like a person, you know, but the features were not human. And I'm looking at this thing. Nobody's paying attention to me at that point. Everybody's preoccupied. Conversation and homie playing the guitar. And that's when it moved. And I don't know if it was its knee or its palm, but it puts pressure on a branch and then snaps it. There's an audible snap. And then friend number one, who is sitting right next to me, he turns around and he sees it and it sees him. And I have not broken contact. I, you know, from my periphery, I see him move, you know, by way of the firelight. I see him move. And I have eyes on whatever this thing is, and it snaps its head super fast. Like, I liken it to a bird or like an insect or some of the desert lizards that have the fast twitch movement. Like, it was just snap its head in his direction. And he went to go reach for his 9mm carbine. And then what happened next pretty much defies all reality. It disappeared. It vanished. And the best way I could describe it was if any of y'all seen Harry Potter and they do that apparating technique, that's what it looked like. So the area around it, it looked like it collapsed in on itself. Before then, I couldn't describe what it did when it vanished. I initially had told people when I gave the rundown on this encounter that imagine if like you had a rope tied around your waist and 20 people just yanked you in the woods. That's what it looked like. But after seeing, you know, Harry Potter and seeing that, that's what it most resembled, that action. And it was like everything just went and it was gone, but there was no noise to it. The one thing that I will say about when I saw that was it seemed like air around the area or sound just, I don't know if it was shock or what, where everybody just got like, you know, super, super excited or, you know, panicked or whatever. I don't know exactly what that moment was, but it seemed like everything just went silent for a second or muffled. It was like before it did that, sound around us, just, it seemed to muffle. I can't really explain it. It just kind of deadened. Kind of like if you were talking through a pillow. That's what it sounded like. And then everything was gone. My homie, main homie, friend number one, he was like, at that point, when he saw it, he said, musket. And then at that point, I broke contact with looking at this creature, this entity. I looked over at him, and the only thing that came out of my mouth was, you saw it too? That's it. And then it disappeared. It was gone. We went over there. I told everybody, hey, hold up, stop. And I went right to the spot where it had stopped, where it had lifted off the ground. And I said, hey, did anybody step in this area? And everybody was like looking around, looking in the woods with their flashlight. I'm like, did anybody step in this area, this one area right here? Everybody like says no. I told everybody to freeze initially and like, don't move. I go over and I pick up this stick and it was like depressed into the mud. And it was about an 11 inch stick, you know, as thick as my index finger and, broken in the middle and depressed into the mud. And there was a fern on top of it that looked like it had been pressed into the mud itself. I grab the stick, I look it over, the outside's caked with mud, it's wet, and then I look, somebody had a light, and I brought it up to their light, and the inside was like completely dry, and I was like, I think this is the stick. I don't see anything else that could, you know, resemble it. It was right here. And so at that point, it was confirmed, you know, my friend saw it. I saw it. Friend number two and friend number three, they just reacted. So they didn't see it until, like, my homie, friend number one, raised the alarm. And so friend number one was like, I don't want to be here anymore. I'm like, we started joking about it and we kind of just like laughed it off initially. And he's like, I want to go. He's like, you guys can stay and I'll pick you up, but I don't want to be here. I said, okay, hold up. Let's leave it to a vote. All in favor of leaving, he raises his hand. All in favor of staying, all three of us raise our hand. So he ended up having to stay on the caveat that he gets to sleep in his rig. So he's like, in his Jeep, and we're in the tent at that point. So when everything winds down, that's where we were. So it came back. So that was another point of contact to this, was it ended up coming back. After that fright, you know, we're just kind of like on edge around the fire, like nobody's talking. And we're just like looking around, or somebody's like saying, it's minimal conversation. We're just kind of like, okay, now this is really sus. I'm not vibing it, but we hold out because, you know, we made good on that vote. And so I'm pretty sure everybody kind of changed their minds at that point once the night kind of wore on. So I was just like, okay, this is interesting. We'll see what comes of it. So it's gone about, I want to say like, 1 a.m. maybe, thereabouts, early morning. Everybody's ready to turn in. My friend number one, he's in his Jeep. And then me, friend number two, and friend number three are in a four-man tent. We, mind you, had another tent set up for just me and friend number one to sleep in, and then them two in their own tent. So we're all like in this four-man tent, and friend number three is like on edge. Friend number two is sound asleep, and friend number three is like, I got a smoke. So he gets a purple, I want to say it's like a great blunt or something like that. And he's like, I need to take the edge off. And I'm like, you're really going to do that right now with whatever is out there? I just, you know, I'm like, okay, whatever, but don't hop off the tent, blow out the flap. So I remember this part, he was like fumbling, trying to get it open, his little tube. And then that's when I hear friend number one's Jeep start up. And then like he hit the gas and I hear it spinning gravel. And then at that point, I'm like, what the heck is going on? Did he just leave? Like, I was absolutely just, like, taken aback, dumbfounded about that. Like, this dude really left. We're on our own. And we had another vehicle there, but, like, if he had left, it doesn't sound good to me. So that happens. Me and friend number three were just, like, wide-eyed looking at each other. And then I'm like, okay, think fast. I hand him the axe. I'm armed. I carefully go to get the zipper to the tent, the flap open. And at that point, that's when bright light, you know, we just see like this bright light shining on the tent. And I'm like, what the heck? You know, at that point, at that point, I'm going to, I tell friend number three to wake up friend number two. That's when the light hits, and then I hand him the axe and I go to get out of the tent. So at that point, when the light hits, I'm like, okay, what is going on? And then I hear the honking beep, 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 beep. And I'm like, oh, he's still here. And I'm like, I have no idea what's going on. I get out there. I clear the area, make sure there's nothing around the tent. Because this is already shaping up to be the weirdest night I've ever experienced. And I see him at the front of his Jeep waving at me. He's waving with his hands and he's like motioning me to come over to him. And so I go over there and I'm like, whoa, dude, what's going on? And he's like, he's pretty shook at this point. Like, there's that thing, white as a sheet. I've never seen that look before on a person until that night. And I just remember, he had his headlamp on and I had my headlamp on. And I want to say he had either turned it to like the low setting or had turned it off. But I still had mine on and I could see his hand just trembling like a leaf. And I'm like, okay, this dude doesn't scare easily. What's going on? And I lift my light, I point my light down a little bit and kind of like look up at him just to keep it out of his eyes. And I could see his face, like all the color had run out of his face. And he just looked like he was in the biggest shock of his life. His eyes were watery and he's like, I'll tell you later, man, but we got to go. He's like, please, we got to go now. And I'm like, okay, say no more, fam. At that point, like, hand like this. And I'm like, okay. So, hustle everybody up. And I tell friend number two and friend number three, we gotta go. Like, I'll be like, he saw something. At that point, I just wanted to get everybody gone. So I'm just like, let's go. Everybody pack up, break down camp or whatever. We leave here. We leave here if we need to and we'll come back for it. So we're breaking down everything at this point, you know, the tent's just being rolled up, everything in the tent and we're hucking it into the rigs. And friend number three says he hears noise and we're starting to hear stuff too. So we're hearing like snaps, but it's sporadic. We're just hearing it like here and there. And before then, the night was completely quiet. So we're just starting to hear this sporadic noise of like twig snaps or, you know, brush or something being, you know, walked on and something moving through the woods. And he goes and he's like, I heard something. And he disappeared on us for a second. And we're looking for him. I go back with...
Hold on a second. So...
Go ahead.
You're saying he disappeared as in he walked away looking?
Yeah, he heard a noise. Yeah, he heard a noise by the Jeep and then he like decided to go investigate. I don't know why he did that. It still defies explanation.
No, it's fine. I just I'm listening to your story. I didn't want to forget that detail to ask later. I just had to ask you now.
No, you're good. You're good. So yeah, okay. He hears a noise and then goes and follows it. And I'm just like, okay, this is not happening. I didn't know what happened to it until that point. And so I go over there with an armful of stuff to the Jeep and I don't see him there. And I want to say friend number two comes by. I'm like, hey, did you see friend number three? And he's like, no, he's by the Jeep. He was like, I just brought some stuff to him. I was like, well, he's not here. And then we all rally and we're like, okay, he's gone. And then friend number one, he's like, oh my God, this is not happening. And, you know, everybody's at the ready at this point. Just everybody was at a heightened state of like alarm and awareness at that point. And then we see something. Well, I ended up seeing it. I saw the shape moving through the woods. I'm like, this is the thing. Like, okay, everybody, we're going to have to shoot this. And we almost shot him. He's like, don't shoot, don't shoot. It's me. He's like, I'm like, what the heck are you doing, dude? Like, you could have gotten yourself shot. He's like, I heard a noise. And we're like, okay, whatever. Don't do that. Stay by the Jeep. And, you know, we basically made him promise not to leave. And that's the stoner part for you. But Yeah, I know. At that point, we're just like, this is too weird. And we pack up our stuff. We fly out down the trail so fast that like we almost went sideways and like rolled the Jeep. But we were, you know, we were moving with a purpose at that point, and we got the heck out of there. And once we hit the main road and, you know, we get back onto the highway, I look over at friend number one and like, okay, dude, you said you saw something. Like, what was it? And then he goes, he's like, okay. He's like, just have an open, basically like have an open mind about this, please. He's like, take it for what it's worth. And so I'm like, okay, right. And he goes, something came back to the camp. I was like, okay. He was like, well, I was getting ready to turn in, and he said he saw movement. So from his passenger side window, it was kind of fogged because he was settling in. And he said he saw some movement, and I think he went to go grab a paper towel to wipe it down, or wiped it down with his hand or something. So when he wiped it down at that point, it had moved. It was in the process of movement, and it had gone past the wood pile with the Coleman lantern, and then back into the darkness. But he said at that very moment, he saw something on all fours, like walk in. And he said, when he wiped it away, he said he just saw a fleeting glimpse of it go into the darkness. And then he said, when it was in the darkness, he saw it stop there for a moment. And then he's like looking at it. He said, then it stood up. He said, that's what it did. It stood up on its hind legs like a person. And he said it walked over to where the tents were, like right in the middle of the two tents. So about, I don't know, 10 to 15 feet away from where the tents were, somewhere thereabouts. And he said that when it did that, it squatted by a tree. And he said that it looked at the empty tent with nobody in it and the tent with us in it, because we had the dome light on. We had a little tent light. And then the empty tent, and then the tent, and then the empty tent, and then the tent with us in it. And then at that last point, it fixated on the tent with us all inside of it. And he said that it did this movement. He said it looked like it was going to pounce. He's like, it rolled its shoulders and kind of leaned forward. And he said, that's when he reacted and, you know, made the Jeep come alive and then brought it about. And he said, when it did that, he said, it looked over its shoulder real fast. And he said, it bounded and just leaped, sprang into the wood line where it had initially come from. So I thought that was weird. I was like, what did it look like? And he's like, okay, now this didn't sound crazy, but just have an open mind for a second. And he is like, okay, so imagine you take a werewolf. And when he said werewolf, I rolled my eyes like, no, that's not what you've seen. He said, and then you shave it. And I'm like, what the heck? And I had him reiterate this like five times to me, enough times that like I made it stick. And what he described was completely not human. So when he said that, imagine you take a werewolf and then shave it, it pretty much confirmed, like when he said that, it like did, it was like a spinal feeling, like, okay, this is what I saw. And I had him describe it to me. I did not give any descriptor of what I saw at that moment. We just saw a shadow. That was like the theme of whatever it was, whatever he saw and whatever I saw, it was just left as a shadow. But I had been staring at this thing for a couple minutes at least. And so I got a pretty good, you know, view of its silhouette and its shape, well, the shape of the silhouette and everything like that. And so it went in line with his statement. I asked him, you know, for the details about what it was, and he's like, it was hairless. I said, what color was it? He's like, I don't know, maybe bluish or greenish. He's like, I couldn't really tell. It was so dark, but he said it looked hairless. He said, its skin looked wet. And that was like a striking thing to me about what he said. He's like, it looked wet. And I'm like, okay. I was like, what was it? You know, was it male, female? He's like, it's like, I didn't see any boobs or anything like that. So I'm thinking it was a male, whatever it was. He said, that it was slender, but muscular. So he said, this thing was like built for speed. That was one thing that he had said. He's like, this thing was built to move. He's like, it looked like a hunter, you know, like a predator. And, he said it had it didn't have like a full muzzle, but it had like a protrusion. Like it wasn't human, at all, but it wasn't like you hear the dog man stories or whatever. Like he said, it didn't look like a full on like canine muzzle, but it was protruding. He said its head was large and it had large ears. I had him at that point when he finished up everything. I said, okay, hold that thought. We boogie over to my place. Everybody's in, everybody's, you know, getting warm. I'm turning on the heat. Friend two and friend three are just talking. And then, I have friend one sit in the kitchen and I give him a piece of paper. Excuse me. And then I take a piece of paper and I go into the living room where friend two and three are sitting. And I asked him to draw what he saw, and I was going to draw what I saw. So I draw it out. He draws his thing out. And I'm like, okay, time. I said, turn over your paper. I bring over my paper on my little book, turned over, and I put it next to his. I said, on the count of three, turn it over. So three, we turn it over. And I'll tell you this, like when I saw his picture and I looked at my picture, the hairs on my arm, I got goosebumps, and the hairs on my arm, my neck, like just went on end. And I fully believe that we saw something at that point. Like the way he drew the ears, that's what did it for me, was like where he drew the position of the ears, like my ear, but right up here and a little bit out there. Yeah, we saw something. As to what it was, I don't know, but it defied all reality. So yeah, that's a story.
That is a wild story. So as you were telling the story, I had this like memory of a past show that I had done, and I couldn't remember. So I was trying to find it because the artwork was done by a really good artist. And I had back in the day, I had two artists that did work for me, three artists actually, but two of them were like Hollywood level type artists, and it was made by that. But when I looked it up, I called it something about the gargoyle. And because the way you were describing it, I was like, this sounds familiar. And I'm looking at the sketch that you had sent in the email.
Yeah.
And, but that story happened in Arkansas. And then when you're talking about the more canine type look, that is wild, because I don't know if I've ever heard a story where, you know, a type dog man was hairless.
Yeah.
Did he say that it had any hair at all? Or was it just like almost like a human would be, only with a dog type head?
Well, that's the thing. Like, I didn't see any hair from the silhouette. And so to corroborate what he said, he didn't see any hair. Like once it got into the light enough to where he could see it, he said he could not see the presence of any hair at that point. And so it goes in line with what I saw. Like, I don't know what he saw. I'm not saying that he, you know, fabricated anything he saw or the whole story just to get out of there. Like, I believe he saw something, you know, because I didn't give any kind of descriptor about what I had seen at that moment. We just saw a shadow as far as anybody knew. And so when he drew what he drew and I drew what I drew, it was just like, what is this? You know, and I wouldn't say like, I don't like the, I don't know, I think the dogman theory is, there's something to be said about it, but this thing I don't feel was like tainted, you know, like a canine, like werewolf type dealio. He just said werewolf because I think that was the muzzle, you know, but he said it wasn't like fully like, you know, like a German shepherd or a wolf, like that long, narrow muzzle. He said this was like short. It's like maybe like a baboon, or maybe like a chimpanzee, maybe a little bit longer, but it wasn't. He said that what he saw, for what it was worth, did not look canid. You know, it didn't look like a canine. It looked like something, but, and truth be told, like, I used to like poo-poo on fairy lore and stuff like that. But as I've gotten older and I've done a little bit more research, because this consumed me for like a year straight after the fact, like I was trying to find any information on whatever this thing was. And I was going to look it up before the show, but the one thing, and this is actually, I actually used this as a template for this creature, but I can't remember which tribe has the name for this, but it's called the Nolusa. I want to say that's something like in the Midwest or something like that, thereabouts. I'm not sure if it's Cherokee or, listeners who are, you know, hearing this, they can look it up. And as far as this folklore goes, the Nolusa is called the long black bean. It's called the long black bean. Like, I guess that's what its name translates to. And they say during the day, you can only see its heart, which glows blue, but everything else is invisible. So I don't know if that ties into the will of the wisp. You know, are these things associated with nature? I don't know, but as far as it's concerned, you know, this, I couldn't find anything, you know, as far as what people had seen at that point, because it's 2017. I think missing 411 was just popping off, you know, like I'm pretty sure it was like really hype in the underground, but like this started to gain like more like mainstream notice. And so I had just, I think, heard of David Pilatus at that point in time. And so when this happened, I was like, okay, missing people, saw this thing, you know, we had this weird first experience where I almost ascribed like it was trying to sedate me, like putting me in this dream state where at that point, like I was completely out. Like my friend said he was nudging me, and I was having this dream where like life was good. Like my life was in shambles at that point, but in the dream state, life seemed like what it's supposed to shake out to be, but real life wasn't. So it was like a sedative. That's kind of what I feel. And my homie, friend number one, he had, he's a vet. So he, you know, he has some PTSD and some, you know, issues with sleep and stuff like that. So for him, getting to sleep was not an easy task. So I'm glad that he was awake. I'm glad for his insomnia, unfortunately. But, you know, I hate to say, like, if we were both out, what could have happened? You know, that's anybody's guess. But for what it was worth, had that first strange experience, followed up by this one. And then from there, it just basically consumed me to try and find like an answer for it. I couldn't tell you what this is, but I feel like we live in a very strange world. And so, you know, expect the unexpected. That's basically my whole take on it. Like, there are things out there that we can't describe. And for what it's worth, this goes way back. It's cross-cultural. And I saw something, you know, that was my first ever strange of the strange, you know, experience. And it hasn't shied me away from the woods. In fact, you know, I'm not saying I want to see this thing again, but I feel like there's something out there. Whether this thing was truly hostile or what have you. I mean, it might be. I didn't have a pleasant experience. Like, it wasn't a warm and fuzzy, like, you know, Close Encounters of the Third Kind or the aliens, like, waving his hand and wanting to meet you. It wasn't like that. Was this thing, you know, extraterrestrial? I don't know. But it did something that, you know, what we're hearing coming out of the woodwork in the government with, like, reality dominating technology and hyperdimensional or extra-dimensional technology and stuff like that. Are these things associated with that? You know, have they always been here? I've been chasing the rabbit hole on that. But as far as this experience goes, man, like, it defies all explanation for me, but it happened to me. And so I chose your podcast to tell the story. And here I am.
I'm really glad you did, man. I'm really glad you did. So I'm looking at, it took me a few minutes here as you were, after you said the Nolusa, I was like, I don't know how to begin to start spelling that one. And so I did find it here, and wow, it is strikingly similar to what he described. I mean, it's from the Choctaw tribe.
Thank you.
Yeah. So what I see here, I don't want to read the whole encyclopedia on it, but it says a monster from the Choctaw tribe of North America, the Nolusa Phalaia. I don't know how to pronounce that. It's a fearsome being that terrified native hunters. It looks like a tall, shriveled human with a snout-like nose, black skin, and pointed ears. It is also said that it has the ability to melt into shadows and transform into a snake-like creature. It also likes to hide in shadows around dusk in order to frighten children. The Nolusa attacks hunters at twilight. It first attracts a hunter's attention by calling out their name. When the hunter turns around, they are so affected by the Nolusa's power that they fall helpless to the ground. While its victim is unable to fight them, the Nolusa will insert a thorn into their body. The thorn will drive the hunter to unwillingly carry out evil acts against other people. According to legend, the hunter will not remember being attacked by the Nolusa until after they have started performing evil deeds. That's wild.
Yeah.
That's wild.
So from our neck of the woods over here, there's something called the... Forgive me if I butcher this, but I think it is called the Stehama, and they're called the Stick Shower Indians or the Stick Indians. And so that was something that, like, really, I chased the rabbit hole on that one because that was, like, the only thing that made sense. I saw a tribal carving of it, and it looked pretty fearsome. That was, like, got claws and sharp teeth. And yeah, it just... There's something here. There's something here. The Native Americans of this area, you know, they've experienced something to warrant this being in their, like, lore, in their stories, in their traditions, you know? So looking at that, like, you have to work backwards at that point. Like, you can't, it's like reinventing the wheel. You just can't, but, you know, you can look at good information, you know, and you can make it better, you know, you can refine it. And so looking at this, okay, the Nolusa, the Stick Indian, they seem to be like one and the same for what it's worth. And it, like, pretty much translates to fey lore as far as I see it now. And so I'm a huge proponent of it. Like, I think the fey lore really ties into a lot of these phenomena that have been witnessed throughout the ages. And I think, you know, it can translate into the modern era just as easily. Like, Aleister Crowley contacted an entity called Lamb, and I think it told him that, you know, today you call us demons, tomorrow you will call us something else. And so I think whatever is out there, it's like that, you know, it's always been here. It's always been here with us, and we'll catch fleeting glimpses of it, but it's been here so long, it can get around that, you know, it can get around us. We as humans think, like, oh, you know, we have complete control, and we can bend nature and we can bend life to our will and stuff. And I think that's not even the case. I think we're just here, you know, we're new to this. We're new to this existence. We haven't been around as long as these things have, and for whatever reason, they're not, you know, side by side to us. They're not known to us, but I think they are here. And however we encounter them, I think maybe in the future, it's going to be a lot more. I can say, you know, with certainty that since that experience, I've had strange experiences in the woods, but they're not positive, or they're positive. They're not negative experiences. More recently, but it lends me to think, like when I'm out foraging and stuff like that, I'm looking for something like a mushroom, and then I'll find a mushroom that I'm looking for. Like this actually happened last week. I'm looking for some red belted conch, and I found one, and I was thinking to myself, I hope I find more. And then when me and my wife were going deeper in Capitol Forest, mind you, deeper into the interior, I noticed something on a stump, and it's a red belted conch, like pulled off and like left there. Like, yeah, we all, and another thing too, is like, now when we go into the woods, we always leave an offering, like a food offering or like something sweet, or, you know, nuts, food, stuff like that, just to say, hey, you know, we're here. You know, just put the good vibes out there. But yeah, that's what happened, man. That's the story. Anything you want to ask about it? Any fine details?
Man, you gave a lot of great details. And I mean, it's, I don't want to say it's unfortunate, but in this context of what we're doing right now, it is unfortunate you're not the one that saw it firsthand. Now, your friend that did see it, does he know you're talking about it right now?
Yes, he does. Yeah.
And he's fine with it?
Yeah. Yeah. And the thing about his encounter versus mine is, with what he saw, which was fleeting in its own way, I think for him, I can't say for what he saw. I don't know how he like ultimately processed it, but it was kind of like something that he didn't want to really like go back to talking about. Like, we hashed it out for a good, you know, a couple days, and then it was like, no, we're not talking about it anymore. Like, he got it out of his system, and that was it. But I looked at it the longest, even though it was in silhouette and it was hidden. And that Nelusa, I think there's a picture associated with that little info point that you brought up. That's the picture that I used the same picture, and I like blacked it out. And basically that's what it looked like to me. Like, that's the closest thing. When I didn't even read the story, actually, when I saw that picture, I just saw it and I was like, that's it, but it needs to be this way. So I, you know, hit it with a black and blacked it out. And that's basically what I saw effectively. I can tell you that the movements, what struck me the most was looking at it come off the forest floor and stand there, how still it positioned itself. Like, there wasn't any trembling. Like, it was cold out there and there wasn't any kind of trembling. It just very slow, very fluid movements, and just still like a statue. And I looked at it for, you know, a couple minutes at the very least. And when it made that movement to look at my friend, it was just like, I can't even do it that fast. It just super fast, just snapped its head in his direction. And then whatever it did to disappear, that was the most astonishing thing, because I couldn't believe what I was seeing. And so what did it do? You know, how did it disappear? Like, was it so fast that it just ran or ducked out and that's what it looked like? Or am I misquoting what I saw? But what struck me was watching Harry Potter. I was like, I literally pointed at my wife. I said, that's it. She's like, what's it? And then I told her the story. And I was like, that thing, that's what it did. She's like, what the heck? So, yeah. I wish I would have seen it. I'm not saying I would want to. I think I'd have a very different opinion had I seen a glimpse of what he saw. For what I saw, I think it's enough. It's enough for me to confirm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I definitely agree with you. I go out and I try to find this stuff, but I'm like a dog chasing his tail. So if I ever actually find something, I don't know what I'm going to do.
I know
you know? So.
Yeah, I know you did, some documentaries and stuff like that. Come out to Washington. I'll show you some stuff.
We already did. Yeah, man. That's the crazy thing is that, like, you're talking about an area that that's so wild that you didn't know that.
No.
All right. So, at the time of this recording, our documentary has had a world premiere and it is starting this coming Monday. It's going to be available for on-demand viewing at MerkelFilms.com.
Gotcha.
It's called Sasquatch and the Missing Man. And my friend Wes, who has a podcast called Sasquatch Chronicles, you're not far from where he lives. He lives in Washington too. Mm-hmm. He had a very dramatic Bigfoot encounter in the Sunset Falls area. So that's south of where you're at. And it happened, I want to say probably about 12 to 14 years ago. It's why he's into this topic as far as being a podcaster goes. We went out to make a documentary about that experience that he had. And same thing that you saw in The Shape of Shadows, that kind of style of a documentary. Like I call them like adventure docs, like adventure documentaries. So one of the things that Wes describes in his encounter is different sizes of these things. And I know you're not saying this is Bigfoot and I'm not saying this is Bigfoot. Right. People do describe Bigfoot having a protrusion in the face at times. Not often, but we have heard that described. Wes said that the sizes of these things that he saw, I think there was three of them that night, were all different sizes. But the one that he said was in the tree, it was up in the tree and they're looking at it. And he said it was moving back and forth real fast, looking at them. And he... in the documentary, he said almost like a crackhead with quick movements. And I think there is something to be said about those movements and how people describe them. Cause even you said it, like, it's almost like.
Yeah, I can see it in my head. I'm looking at it like in my head right now. And the movement was just uncanny. Like what could do that?
Almost like glitches, almost like glitching
fast. And it was, that movement just registered audibly to me, like in my head, like not human instant. Yeah. Continue that. Sorry.
No, yeah, that's fine. So with that fast movement and stuff, as somebody who hasn't seen it, but does very much go down the route of a lot of these things do have supernatural elements. Do you feel that way? Like this thing, the way it moved and stuff, do you think it was more on a level of supernatural than just really fast creature?
It was physically there. It affected the ferns. It affected that twig. I would say it has an element of something we can't really put our finger on. I told my wife this story not too long ago, just kind of rehashed some new stuff that I was thinking about. And I was like, what if it's like, not quite a 4D entity? What if it's like 3.5? It can come and go. It's like in between the lines. It's walking the line.
How long have you been listening to this show?
Pretty recent, actually, like about a month or two, thereabouts.
Yeah. Okay. So you are new.
Yeah. Very new.
That what you just described is something that I deeply believe.
Okay.
And I talk about ad nauseum, I imagine, for people. I mean, people still listen to the show, so I guess they're not too tired of it, but it's the way I view it. And what you just described is really how I view it. There is, these things can come to this called the realm, right? So they go from their realm of existence to this realm of existence. When they're in this realm of existence, they're not only appearing physical, they are acting physical. They have attributes that are physical. They become physical.
Right.
But they have an ability to go back and forth. The middle ground. I call it the bridge. That there's a realm here and a realm here. That middle ground is what they traverse back and forth. Yeah. And we don't have that ability.
No.
And so I think what my gut, I'm not telling you what this is, but in my gut, how I view these things and how I feel, hearing your story, I'm like, that sounds like something that traverses back and forth.
Yeah. Well,
and when it's here, it's physical, but it has abilities that people and things that just originate in this realm, that doesn't have, we don't have those abilities, but it does because it doesn't come from here.
Right. I mean, if we look at, you know, folklore and stuff, it's all kinds of extraordinary things that we're hearing, you know, as far as folklore goes. I was reading a fairy lore about a situation between two lovers. I think it was a man and a fairy woman. And then that's the Irish one. And then there was one of a woman and a fairy man, and that was in Cambodia. And if you took the locations out, you would think that they came from the same pot. You know, you could interchange them. And that to me was like, wow, that's a world away, literally Cambodia and Ireland. And here we have exactly the same story. And, I think this thing is, you know, every culture has had an experience, peeked into Polynesian fairy lore. The Polynesian fairy lore is actually pretty extensive. The Kakamora, yeah, and I think the Menahuni, those are, you know, some popular ones. But it's all the same. They're trooping fairies and stuff like that within the Polynesian lore. So I look at it like, okay, there's something to this. If you go back and you examine things in a historical sense, I think history can give you the best clues as to what it might be. Maybe the dialogue of the time or the zeitgeist, you know, the spirit of the time, they didn't have the technical understanding that we do today to really describe it in such and such terms. But for what it's worth on that lore end, yeah, there's an ability there. I mean, I saw this thing disappear like that. You know, in another time, people would call me crazy. But in a further back time, you know, they would be like, oh, you saw the fireys. You know, so, yeah. So for what it's worth, it's like, yeah, I'm a big proponent of it. I think, yeah, if we look at like the Bible and various religions and stuff, it's all that kind of stuff. So why could it not be? And that's basically where I am. But hey, you know, like if you ever decide to do another documentary in Washington, hit me up and I'll show you some stuff. I really will. Like I've had since this experience some pretty wild encounters. That's just one. So.
So, all right. So first of all, I would love to go to where this campsite was and spend a week there investigating that spot, because if we could maybe replicate the environment, maybe we could have similar.
Yeah, when you said that, replicate the environment, I literally got chills. I'm like, yeah, yeah, okay.
We're the crazy boys. Yeah, that's what I nicknamed. I don't really talk. I don't say it out loud a whole lot. I've been recently, but in my head, every time I refer to me and the guys, like I call us the crazy boys because it's just. And then, how old are you, by the way?
I'm 40.
40. Okay, so you actually would probably get this. Pauly Shore.
Mm-hmm.
Which movie was it? It was In the Army Now.
Oh.
And he called them the crazy boys, and the way he does it with his voice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's how I do it in my head. Anyways, You mentioned about having other experiences. What kind of experiences? Are they like out in nature as well or what?
Yeah, all of these everything that has transpired since has been out in nature. Wow. I picked up on the missing 411 stuff, like after that experience really heavily. And it was at that point, I investigated two missing persons cases. Like it was basically like search and recovery type stuff at that point, like independently, not with any organization or anything like that, but just like, hey, our person is missing. Anybody who wants to come out and look can come help. And here's where to look, you know? So I went out to two, and both of those times, I had very, very strange things happen. And to the one of them, it was an unfortunate one, but the individual who went missing, he was ultimately recovered deceased. But the day that I was out there, I saw Bigfoot, like plain as day. And that was
okay.
Talk to me.
Like, this wasn't in the email, yeah, I don't think.
Well, like after that experience, like I started to like chase that rabbit, and these things started to happen. That story, I don't know if you'll ever want to have me back, you know, after this one, but that's a little bit long, drawn out one, but it involves a turd. Like, I'll tell you that much right now. On the trail, where he was supposedly at that point in time, were as per the report, they said he had gone up to this area. And so we searched that area, and we took a couple switchbacks up there. And then on the trail, there was this turd, and it was like a Olive Garden baguette. Like if somebody, I told myself, like, I don't want to meet the ass that pushed this turd out. Yeah. But I did. I ended up seeing whatever it was. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So let me ask you a question. You, since this, inauguration of an experience with the, what was it called again? I want to make sure I get it right.
The Nalusa.
Yeah. That's what I'm going to call it.
Yeah. Right.
For me, it's the Nalusa. Since that, you've had a Bigfoot encounter. What else what other things have happened to you?
So in this area of the Olympic National Park, same thing, another search and recovery. That was before the Bigfoot encounter. I was in this gully, and then kind of like what the missing 411 kind of lore is all about, everything went quiet. To the point where it felt audible, you know, that's how quiet. Like I could hear the blood pumping in my head. I could hear my heart beating. I almost liken it to that. Remember when I said that right before it disappeared, like when everything around it like sucked in on itself and there was like a muffle? That's kind of like what it was. I was hearing this for a moment when this, whatever it was there. I couldn't see it though. But when I went to investigate this gully, I saw a branch or a sapling like swaying like this, like somebody had let it go.
1 second.
Excuse me. And I just saw it swaying. And, you know, I looked to my 11 o'clock and I'm like, I thought like a large bird had taken off from there. And then, like, that's when the quietness happened. And if I ever get to tell that story again on here, that one's a very weird one. But I was all by myself. We had told, you know, the group that I was with was like, we're not going to split up. And they were searching over by the river. And I decided to go up ahead. And I literally went. I just started searching the side of the road, and I went further, and then I searched into this gully, and that's when that happened to me. But it sounded like something walking, crunch, crunch, very methodically walking from my 11 o'clock to my 2 o'clock. And I'm looking through the sap, like this is, I have to look at, the information, but it was like late spring, I want to say thereabouts. And so, everything was still pretty sparse. Nothing had come in. That was like after the snow there. So everything is kind of late as far as like bloom. So I had clear line of sight to the other side of the river. And I'm looking and I'm like, what is walking? And I'm like looking on the ground to see if like it's an animal, but it's not making sense because it's one, two, crunch, crunch, crunch. In that succession, very careful movement. And when it crossed to my 12 o'clock, I had a nice breezeway. And I'm hearing this movement of the leaves, like walking, coming into my 2 o'clock. And that's when I grabbed my weapon and got it ready. And then it stopped. And then at that point, my knees were shaking, you know, palms are sweaty, mom's spaghetti. Like I was just freaked out. I'm like, am I going to die? Am I going to go missing too? But I just kind of stood there at the ready, kind of bracing myself. And then I hear it. See, I hear walking again, but this time it's like getting fainter and fainter and fainter. And then I heard a sound that sounded like sliding gravel. And where I was on this ledge with like a 30-foot drop into the river. And I don't know if it went over, but it was gone at that point. Once I heard that gravel noise and I'm sitting there for a moment. And then it was like at that moment, life just came back into being. Like that heavy weighted feeling of silence went away. And then I started to hear bugs. I started to hear birds again. I started to hear like life come back in the forest. Like what it was like a dark cloud had left. And I don't know what it was at that point, but this really kind of goes in line with the missing 411 stuff. So I got back to the group and I was about to, like, the words had not left my mouth and I was about to tell them what happened. And then we got hit by this torrential rain, this cold, freezing rain. Like thinking about it just made me shudder a little bit because that's how cold it was. Got us all drenched and cold. And I forgot about it after that point. I don't know. It was so weird, that experience, because it wasn't until we left that I was like, oh my God, something happened to me. And then I told friend number one, who was with me at that point. Me and him like kind of chased that rabbit, so to speak. And he's like, why didn't you tell me? I was like, I don't know. We got hit by that rain and I just completely forgot about it. Like, what the heck? And we were there for another day or so after the fact. And I didn't not once bring it up. So I don't know. I really can't say what it is, but whatever phenomena that's doing what it's doing has definitely a lead. Like my reaction time at that moment, the first encounter, I couldn't react to it. I was just flabbergasted, call it shock, call it what you will, but I couldn't react to it. And then the second time, I completely negated on saying what I saw. Like I didn't even bring it up, not even once. In the time that we were there, I didn't say, hey, this thing happened, you know? And so that's, yeah, that's the gist of it.
Well, the gist of it got you back on the show.
Okay.
I want to talk to you again. I was just texting my wife asking her if she can pick up my son, because if she could, we would just go now. But she says she's just putting my daughter down for bed. So I do have to pick up my son, but I want to schedule with you after we're done recording here a time to bring you back on to talk about all this other weird stuff, because what you just shared in this episode is just the genesis of what started happening in your life. And there's definitely thoughts that I have on why that is. And I do think that there is there are connecting events. It's not just random. I feel like you probably feel the same way because of the way you brought it up, how, you know, this was the first thing. And then since then, all this stuff started happening. And then you're not alone. You're not alone. A lot of people go through these kind of things and it spawns more.
Right. I'm going to shameless plug. I started a podcast called The Noticer Zone.
Please.
And so yeah, to the Noticer Zone, it's brand new. I'm going to be like putting out material, but like it's basically going to revolve around these experiences. Like this is firsthand what I'm talking about. This isn't like a case file or anything like that. And I feel like because of that first encounter, I think that's what it is. I've just noticed more now, you know, like I'm more aware. And maybe for whatever reason, like, you know, this last time I found a red belted conch sitting on a log, and I've been looking for those mushrooms all day. Time before that, I like rocks, you know, kind of a little bit of a rock hound in me. I found a slab of quartz, like clear quartz, and I was looking for something cool. And that just happens to be on a root ball on a tree in the woods, like perfect flat, like a, you know, perfect, like, I guess you could say like show grade piece of quartz just sitting on a tree. Like it was left there. I don't know for me, but I think these things observe you. I think they, once you go into the woods, like the elves or forest spirits, whatever they are, they're there. There's good ones and there's bad ones, and there's some that are in between. And I think they know you by your intentions. I think with what happened to me the first time, I was in a really bad way. So it's friend number two. Maybe we put like some food out there for it, and it smelled, you know, our electrochemical signals or something, and was like, ooh, you know, tasty meal, something. But yeah, a lot to cover on that. I'd really like to talk more. But if you ever come out this way again, I wanted to tell you, if you do want to do another documentary, I'd say don't expect for anything to happen, and it will. I think it will, for sure. So yeah, that's it.
Well, I'll tell you what, that's probably why we have things happen on our documentaries, because I'm still adamant that it's not easy to uncover these things. And we've had things happen, but I haven't had the cream of the crop. Like what your friend experienced, where he saw it and it saw the movements and saw what it was doing. And it was like a period of time where he was alone in the universe with this thing. Haven't had that yet.
Yeah.
And I do think that the more you put yourself in the situation, the more it could happen. But yeah, man, listen, this was a really, really good story conversation, and I want to have you back on for sure.
Thank you.
I thank you for coming on.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me, and great podcast you got there. Looking forward to the next time.
Well, that's the show, everybody. I really hope you enjoyed it. If you did enjoy, please share the show with your friends. I don't care where or how you share the show. Just share the show if you enjoyed it. That's the best thing you can do to help the show grow. Share the show. And just remember, friends, the elites don't want you to know this, but you can convert to Christianity and just live forever. Talk to you later. Bye.
I'm just a note according to them. Trapped in encryption, just trying to ascend. Blending with bots, it's hard to pretend. Swimming against the current of trends. See you, Val.
Filling my tank, I'm still smiling.
I'm not sure if what I